Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Look at the passage of Matthew. I want us to pull a few conclusions, and then we're going to have a time of communion together, and then we're going to close out the evening with just some worship as we leave tonight. Matthew chapter 2. We've been going through a series here in December called Discovering the Christ of Christmas. So we've looked at the Gospel of John, we've looked at Luke. Tonight is in Matthew. And I want us to read that passage together, just beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for that is what the prophet had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way and saw the star, and it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Father, tonight we just ask the blessing over your word. In these moments that we have, I pray that you would speak to us just the importance of that God sent your Son to us. We give you the thanks. In your name we pray. Amen. There's three things that the wise men teach us. In fact, the wise men teach us a lot about knowing God, okay? If we learn nothing else, if we just take what these wise men learned and teach us, we know a lot about God. The first that we see from the wise men is that Jesus is a promise fulfilled. Jesus was a fulfillment of prophecy, and as we looked at Genesis, as we looked at Micah 5:2, as we looked at Isaiah, we see that all these prophecies pointed to that God would send his Son. Why did God have to send his Son? It's because mankind sinned. And because of our sin, the only way that that relationship with God could be restored is through some kind of sacrifice, some kind of punishment. Scripture says that the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so God sent us his Son to be our sacrifice, to be our substitute, so that we could know heaven, that we could know eternal life, that we could know forgiveness of sins. Jesus was a promise fulfilled. Secondly, we learn from the wise men that Jesus is worthy of our best worship. You know, these Magi, they didn't know about God. And I think sometimes we take for granted even just people that lived during biblical times. They did not have a copy of God's word like you and I do. They didn't have a hard copy. They didn't have it on their phones, of course, right? Or their iPads. Old Testament times, they had some of the scrolls, the Old Testament scrolls, but none of the New Testament was written until many years later. They didn't have the privilege that you and I have to have the whole of Scripture, and just with all the technology and information that we live in today, it's so much at our fingertips. They did not have that. And these Magi studied the stars. from what we can gather. They're probably into science. They were probably into astrology. But they noticed this star in the east. And they recognized that it was pointing that the king was going to be born. And God was orchestrating that. And so they began a journey, a long journey that probably took them more than weeks, maybe even months. The cost of that journey, just think of that, the preparations, the supplies that they would need, and the investment of time. And eventually they end up in Bethlehem. And they honor this baby Jesus, okay? He's there in the manger. Humble, right? Manger, feeding trough. And they honor him with gifts of what? Of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those weren't just ordinary gifts. Those are gifts that were worthy of a king. They were. Those were gifts that if you were to come before a king, hey, you know, you wouldn't be embarrassed that you were doing the right thing. You would present a gift that was worthy of a king. And these men brought to this baby Jesus gifts that were worthy of a king. We can learn a lot from the wise men, because how do we offer our worship to God? How do we give gifts to God? Do we just give God what we have left over? Or do we give him gifts that are worthy of a king, of our time, of our talent, and of our treasure? I think the wise men teach us a lot, and I don't know if they were deeply spiritual people, but they teach us a lot about our own spirituality. How we live our life should reflect that, you know what, I'm giving my best to God of everything that I'm doing. Romans 12:1 says, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to God. This is your spiritual act of worship to God. All that we do is worship to God. How you do your job, how you spend your free time, how you interact with other people, even going to Walmart, right? It's an act of worship to God. It all depends on how you live your life. Because as you go through life, you're going to see, oh, you know what? That person needs help with their groceries. Or that person needs help there. How you live your life matters. And it's an offering to God. And he is worthy of our best worship. Amen? Lastly, from the wise men, we learn that Jesus is an exceedingly great joy. When they make this long trip and finally they get to their destination. You ever felt like that? You've made a long trip, a long journey, and you're finally at your destination. And they're excited. But even more than that, they see the child just as they'd been led to believe. They follow the star. It stops over where Jesus is at. And it says that their hearts were filled with joy. And they offered him the gifts that they had brought. Today, I believe that wise men and women that find Christ still find that joy that comes from knowing Christ, from knowing your sins have been forgiven, that you have fellowship with God, that he is your Lord and your Savior. There's a joy that passes all human understanding. It comes from knowing Christ and having him in our lives. I'd like to lead us in a prayer before we go into communion. I call it a prayer of salvation, but if you have never invited Christ into your life, tonight is the night. You have the opportunity to make your life, your heart, right with God, to know him as your Lord and your Savior. We're never given another minute or moment in time. We would like to think that we have all the time in the world, but we never know when our time here on earth is done. And have we lived our life in a way that brings glory to him, and also that we have the hope of salvation. So I believe if you pray this with all your heart, I mean, if you just say the words with us and don't mean it, I don't think it probably accomplishes anything. But if you mean it in your heart, I believe that God begins, he honors that, and he begins to come into our heart. It begins the journey to know him as your Lord and your Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time to gather together. We thank you for the opportunity to be together with family and friends. And tonight we want to honor you, and we want to invite you into our heart and our life. into all that we do. And I'm just going to invite everybody here to pray along with me and say, Dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and my Savior. Walk with me in this journey of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite the musicians to come. And those that are going to help out with communion, if you would come as well. They're going to lead us in a chorus. And this is going to be just a very worshipful time. We're not going to have much for interruptions. But we're just going to conclude our time together tonight just in worship, of worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so after we partake of communion, I'm going to encourage you to stand. And we're just going to, last couple songs, we're just going to worship God. And we're going to usher in this Christmas time, giving praise and glory unto him. Amen. I'm going to turn them. We'll distribute the emblems, and if you would hold them until we partake together. All right? And when you guys are ready, you can go ahead and begin on our course. Father, tonight, just go with us as we go into our time with our families, friends. Be lifted up, be honored. May your joy and your peace be evident in all that we do, Father. Just your hand with us, and we give you the thanks and we give you the praise. In the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you this evening. Greet each other as you leave, and good to have you here with us tonight. God bless you all.